Hope that you all had a good afternoon and looking forward to another good week this coming week. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. It's good news this evening. There's a king up in heaven, and he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's not absent. He's not unaware of what is going on in the world today. He knows exactly what's happening. And at the appointed time, he's going to come back. He's going to take us on home, and that's good news for the Christian. I hope that you're looking forward to the blessed appearance of our Savior Jesus Christ one of these days. We're not going to have to be here forever. One of these days we're going to get to leave. We're going to get to be with Jesus Christ, and everything that we've been singing about and we've been reading about, it's going to become a reality, and we will see it. We will see it up there in heaven, and we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. All the redeemed of the earth will be with Jesus Christ one of these days. For now, we have to live in this world. And sometimes it can be hard and it can be difficult, and you might need some encouragement. And tonight, I'd like to speak to you about spiritual encouragement. Spiritual encouragement. I'm going to read verses 12 to 14 and read a little bit about spiritual encouragement and the benefits of being an encourager. I don't know if you consider yourself to be an encourager or not, but we all ought to be. As Christians, we ought to be encouragers. So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given to us. We thank you for your word, Lord. And we approach your word as best we know how, Lord, in reference to you. It is your word. You've given it to us. You speak to us through your word. You lead us and guide us and direct us. We are saved by your word. And we need to live by your word. And we must live by your word. We have no other option as Christians. I pray that you'd help us this evening to get something from your word. And I pray that you would speak to the hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that if there's one here that needs something, we all do, Lord, but you know especially the needs of people better than I do. I pray that you would speak to that heart this evening. Whatever the need is, Father, we pray, Lord, for your guiding hand to be among our congregation tonight. We lift up our Savior Jesus Christ to you. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the only reason that we're here, is because of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would help us this evening to exalt him and magnify him. If I fail to do that, Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me, Lord, because that's the most important thing. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, read verses 12 to 14. John says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome that wicked one. And then he's going to go on in verses 15 to 17 and tell his audience or his readers that we are not to love the world. But before he gets to that, before he tells his audience and his readers, the Christians, not to love the world, he sets them up with these words of encouragement. And he wants to give us as Christians encouragement. Every one of us must learn to be an encouraging Christian. Are you an encourager this evening? Are you one that encourages someone else? Every one of us are either encourager or we're not. You know, I'm not the best encourager, I wouldn't think, but I strive to be an encourager. And I hope that each and every one of us would strive to do that. You know, too many times Christians are concerned with tearing down others, or they're concerned with backbiting and gossip, and unfortunately, that's what the church is known for much of the time. It's just a bunch of gossipers and backbiters, and they don't try to encourage other people. I'd encourage you tonight to be that encourager. But John is writing to the Christians here, and he's writing to strengthen them. He wants to strengthen their faith. He doesn't want them to doubt their salvation. He doesn't want to weaken them spiritually. He wants to encourage them spiritually. Now, up to this point in this passage of Scripture, in 1 John chapter 1 and chapter 2, he said some pretty strong words. And he's going to say some more strong words to Christians within this book here. But he's going to take a pause here. He's going to take a little break here, and he's going to insert some words of encouragement because they need some words of encouragement. And I believe that each and every one of you this evening, you need some words of encouragement. So he's writing and he's trying to emphasize something. As I was reading through these verses here, I was looking and I read them over and over and over again, and I thought, you know, John is really trying to make a point here. He's trying to make a point because he keeps on saying, I'm writing to you. I'm writing to you. I'm writing to you. He says that six times. He says six times within two verses, I'm writing to you. And so John is trying to emphasize a point to the believers here. And he's going to give them their status as a Christian and their standing as a Christian. He's going to give them a good foundation to stand on as they go out into the world, or as he says the rest of the words that he's going to say to these believers that he's writing to here. He's going to tell them, look, this is who you are, and this is your faith right here, and now you can't love the world. Do not love the world. So he's not attempting to make the Christians doubt their faith. He's going to give them a little bit of assurance in these couple of verses right here and give them some encouragement. In the rest of the book here, he's going to be pointing out the false believers who he's going to call Antichrist. And they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They are false believers and they are among the congregation here. They went out from the congregation, as a matter of fact. But he says, the true believers believe on Jesus Christ, and those who don't are antichrist. And so he's going to give them some assurance in these few verses here, and he's going to tell them their character and their standing. I don't know if you've noticed this as you read through the Scriptures, but God does this many times. He first tells you who you are as a child of God. He gives you your standing as a child of God. And then he gives you the commandments. He says, you are a child of God, now do this. And he gives you the commandment. And that follows. So John's going to give them some encouragement here. What are the encouragements? Well, I picked out three encouragements to Christians. And then what are the benefits of you and I being an encourager as a Christian? The first encouragement that John gives is that your sins are forgiven. He gives them that in verse number 12. It says, I'm writing to you little children because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. That ought to be an encouragement to each and every one of us today. Hey, your sins are forgiven. What does forgiven mean? Well, forgiven means that they're cast away. They are done away with. Look, the slate is wiped clean. There is no more sins on your account. They are cast away from you. The debt has been canceled. You have been pardoned. You were on death row, but then the president came in and gave you a pardon. He gave you a presidential pardon, although he's not a president, but he's a king. But now your sins are forgiven. He's writing and he's saying, look, your sins are forgiven. They're cast away. We read this in the Old Testament from the psalmist in Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. How far is the east is from the west? It's infinite. You can't measure that. And that's how far that God has removed our sins from us. Those horrible, heinous things that you and I have done, those transgressions, when we passed God over God's line and we went farther than we were supposed to go and we offended an almighty God, those things have been taken care of. They're forgiven completely. But this, it's not a baseless forgiveness. It's not something that's arbitrary or capricious or anything like that. No, it has a basis. And he says, your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. For who? For Jesus Christ. It's not for your name's sake. It's not because I'm a good person or because I'm so righteous and I'm so holy that God looked down and said, hey, there's a guy who's really trying. There's a guy who's doing something good. So I think I'll forgive that person. That's not the basis of our forgiveness. A lot of people think so. Go study a few religions. You'll find out you get forgiveness based on the fact that you're just a good moral person. They're just an upstanding, upright person. No, that's not the basis of our forgiveness. The basis of our forgiveness is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the death of Jesus Christ. It is the cross of Jesus Christ. That is the basis of our forgiveness. It's based on someone else and not us. Again, chapter 1 and verse number 7 tells us this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Your sins are forgiven. There's no more enmity between you and God. There's no more hostility between you and God if you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's not mad at you. He's not upset at you. You're forgiven. No more enmity. That's the first encouragement that he gives to the believers. Look, I want you to know, as God's children, that your sins have been forgiven. That's the first encouragement that he gives. Second one is this, is that you know Jesus Christ. Verses 13 and 14, he talks to the fathers of the audience. And to be quite honest, I don't know why he's addressing little children, fathers, and young men. I don't know. Some people have said, well, it's different stages of spiritual development and growth or something like that. And you could make that case and you could teach it that way. Really, I don't know why. And he says fathers first. He says little children first. Then he says fathers. Then he says young men. I don't know why. But the second point of encouragement John gives is that to the fathers, and he says, you know the one that's from the beginning. Verse 13 and 14. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Who is the one who's from the beginning? Is this ringing a bell to anyone as we studied through these scriptures? We find that in chapter 1 and verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. He says, you know that one that is from the beginning. Do you know that ought to be an encouragement to each and every one of us this evening? That you know Jesus Christ? Because not everyone knows Jesus Christ. You can travel the world over, go to different countries and ask them who Jesus Christ is, and they will probably have 10 different answers. He was a good teacher, he was this, he was that, but they don't really know him. They don't understand his blood atonement. They don't understand why he lived upon this earth. They may have heard his name, but he is not their Savior. And it's a blessing and quite honestly a privilege to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You understand that's what salvation hinges on?
Salvation hinges on whether you know Jesus Christ or not, and whether he knows you or not. That's what salvation hinges on. Not the fact that you're a good person or you're religious or you've been baptized. None of those things. Now, all of those things have their place, but that's not what salvation is about. Amen. It matters if you know Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many good works in thy name? We've done all of these things, Jesus. Day of judgment. And you know what Jesus Christ is going to say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. You're not my friend. I'm not in a relationship with you. I'm not in a covenant relationship with you. I don't know you. I've never known you. What a sad day. What a sad moment in the life of a person to find out that they don't know the one who is the judge. What a sad time. But yet there will be people like that someday. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ intimately? Paul encouraged the believers at Rome by telling them that God foreknew them. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow. He knows you. Do you know him? Again, in verse number 3 of this same chapter, we find where John tells his readers there that we know him if we keep his commandments. And hereby we do know him if we keep his commandments. If we know Christ, obedience is going to follow. That's just the way it is. Those who know Jesus Christ are willing to follow the Scriptures. They are willing to keep his commandments. I think I've given you this illustration before. I'll give it to you again. I know my wife in an intimate way. I know her better than any other woman on the face of the planet. Now, I know a lot of women, and I work with some women. I know some women out here in the town. I know some of you women here. But I know my wife differently. I know her differently. You know why that shows? Because I'm willing to provide for her. I'm willing to go out, and I'm willing to work, and I'm willing to provide, and I'm willing to do something for her. Why? Because I know her, and I've known her for 30 years now. That's the way it is with Christians. That's the way it is with Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ, you're willing to do something for him. You're willing to suffer for him. You're willing to serve him. You're willing to do these things. And John is encouraging the believers here, saying, hey, I know you know Jesus Christ. I know you know him. I can tell that you know him because you're doing something for him. You're working. There's some action here. I see your attitude. It's an encouragement. You know him. You know him. Well, that's number two, the second encouragement that John gives. And number three is this, that's that you have overcome the wicked one. Well, that ought to be an encouragement to each and every one of us here this evening. Because you can apply that to yourself. You have overcome the wicked one. Now, he writes to young men. He says, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome that wicked one. Who's the wicked one? That's the devil. That's your great arch enemy that's after you and wants to destroy you. Again, in verse number 14, he says, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome that wicked one. He says, boy, I'm writing to you, young man. He says, you're strong. You got it. You have overcome the wicked one. Now, they're not strong in and of themselves. It's not that they have some kind of supernatural power. That's not it. They are overcomers through Jesus Christ. They are overcomers through the new birth. No one overcomes the devil without the new birth. You can't do it. It's impossible. They are overcomers through faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It talks about overcoming. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You remember what he's going to say in verse 15 and 16 of 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. How are you going to overcome the world and the love of the world? How are you going to do it? through the new birth. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Whatsoever is born of God. Have you been born again this evening? Then you've overcome the world. You've overcome the evil one. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Believing the gospel, and you can overcome the wicked one, and you can overcome the world. Again, 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. Look at the way he words it. Ye are of God. He always tells them who they are first. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Who's that? False teachers. Preaching false doctrine. Worldly false teachers. And he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome him, come them, because what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have someone who is greater than that who is in the world, and that is Jesus Christ. As I told you earlier, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. So what does that mean? That means that the God of this world does not have dominion over you anymore. That means that you now have a new master and a new Lord. That means that the devil does not have any more authority over you. He can't take your soul. We are strong through the word and through prayer, and we depend on what God has said, the gospel. It is the gospel. And when the wicked one comes to try and sow seeds of doubt and try and weaken you and try to overthrow your faith, he's not going to. Why? Because you've been born again. Because you have Jesus Christ who lives on the inside. You think about the first time the devil comes and attacks in the Bible. What does he do? He comes to Eve. And he tries to overthrow her faith in what she had heard. God had already said, don't do this. Don't partake of that tree. What's his first attack? His first attack is, yea, hath God said? He tries to weaken her faith in what God has said. And he overcame her. But we are strong because the word of God abides in us. How did Jesus Christ overcome the devil? Through the word of God. The devil came and tempted him and tried to get him to do things that he shouldn't do. And he came back every time with, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. We have the word of God abiding in us. That doesn't mean that you're a Bible scholar and that you know everything and that you can just quote it verbatim. That's not what that means. But that means that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You believe in his resurrection. You believe in Jesus as the Savior. So John is trying to encourage them. He's giving them 3 points of encouragement because he's about to give them some pretty stiff commandments. He's going to say some things to them. Are you willing to be an encouragement? Are you willing to be a Christian encourager? People need to be encouraged. There's some benefits of being an encouragement to others spiritually. Are you willing to be that encourager? The first thing that, if you're going to be an encourager, a Christian encourager, the first thing that it's going to do for someone, a benefit that it's going to bring to someone, is going to increase their knowledge. When John is writing to these Christians here, he's giving them some more knowledge. He's saying, I'm writing to you and I want you to know some things. I want you to be more fully aware of some certain truths in the Bible. And when you and I encourage others in the Lord, we are going to increase their knowledge and awareness about some things, and it's going to strengthen them. Some people may not be as strong as you are. Some people might not know all the things that are to know about being a Christian. As a matter of fact, a new Christian is not going to know everything. And they're going to be weak. And they're going to be kind of shaky. And they're going to need some more knowledge. They're going to need some more help there. And a word of encouragement is going to make them more aware of who they are. And that's what John is doing here. He's saying, look, I want you to know some things. I want you to be aware of some things. I want you to know who you are in Jesus Christ. I want you to be more aware of the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. I want you to know these things. I want you to know that you're strong. And I want you to know that you're strong through Jesus Christ. You know what that does whenever John was doing these things as he was giving them this encouragement? It's giving them a good foundation to go on. He said, you know who you are now? You know that God loves you. You know that you are forgiven. You know that you're strong. Now you've got something to build on. Now you've got something you can go forward with in your Christian life. And he's given them a good foundation. You have to have a good foundation, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what Satan's going to try to do? Satan's going to attack at the foundation. He's not going to go around messing with the windows and the roof and stuff like that. He's going to start chipping away at the foundation because he knows how important the foundation is. Verse in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the Psalms, says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, John is giving them here a good foundation. He's giving them a greater understanding and a greater awareness of their standing in Jesus Christ. He's saying, look, you can go forward now. Because if they go forward out into the world, they don't have this, they don't have this understanding, they're going to fall flat on their face. They're going to be led astray by some kind of false teacher. And as a matter of fact, that's what he's going to get into in the rest of the book. False teachers. You need a good foundation. And if you and I are going to be encouragers, we're going to give some people some good knowledge to go on. That's one of the benefits of being an encourager. Another thing that being an encourager will do, it's going to produce faith. John is writing to the believers here, and he's saying, look, I want to give you these things. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you these things. Why? Because he's trying to produce a little bit of faith in their heart. He's trying to increase their faith. When you realize your position in Jesus Christ, when you realize the love that God has for you and the forgiveness that God has given to you, does it produce a little more faith in your heart? You know, that's what's so important about coming to church, about hearing preaching, about reading the Word of God, because the faith is going to increase in your heart. And that's what's happening with John here. Spiritual encouragement. When we give encouragement, we're reminding people of what God has done for them in the past. And when we do that, you know what's going to happen? They're going to start thinking, man, well, if I can trust God that he's done all of these things for me in the past and how he's died for me, how he loves me, how he's done these things, you know what? I can trust him in the future. I can trust him in the future. You know what you're doing by giving people spiritual encouragement? Planting seeds of faith. Planting seeds, the seeds of the Word of God. And that's what John was trying to do here. Paul the Apostle reminds us that it's through the preaching of the truth of the gospel that faith is produced. He says, "How shall they?" In Romans chapter 10, he says, "How shall they call on him in whom they not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Preaching the Word of God. That's how faith is produced. So that the more that others hear the Word of God, the more that we hear the Word of God, the more that we're going to get faith produced in our hearts. That's the benefit of being a spiritual encourager. What else does spiritual encouragement do? Well, it builds confidence. Builds confidence. And that's what John was trying to do here. John was saying, look, I want to encourage you. I want to do something for you so I can build up your confidence. And that's what encouragement does. It builds up their confidence. I notice when I read the epistle to the Philippians, Paul starts out with some encouragement to his readers. Tells them that he loves them and that they're his friends and who they are in Jesus Christ. And he does all these things and he says, you can have confidence in that because of who you are in Jesus Christ. He says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Whenever you encourage someone spiritually, you know what you're doing? Giving them some confidence. confidence. You know, you and I don't always have the confidence that we need, do we? Sometimes I know that I don't. You ever go to God in prayer and you're not quite as confident as you ought to be? You know what's happened? You've lost a little bit of encouragement. You've lost a little bit of perhaps who you are in Christ and how good that God is. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we can go boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know why? How can we have confidence and go before God and find that grace that we need? How? Read the few verses before that. We have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. Therefore, we can go forward and have confidence. So as we encourage others spiritually, it builds up their confidence in Jesus Christ and the Scriptures, and they can have confidence in answered prayers. You know, John the Apostle talks about answered prayers in 1 John chapter number 5. Verse number 13, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desired from Him. He says we can have confidence that the Lord is going to hear our prayers. Do you know why He's telling them that they can have confidence? Read the two verses before. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He gives them confidence first. He says, hey, look, you're believing on Jesus Christ. Now you can have confidence that your prayers have been answered. I don't think that anybody on this earth should have confidence that their prayers are going to be answered if you're not praying in the name of Jesus Christ and you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Again, 1 John chapter number 4 says we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Are you nervous about going and standing before God one of these days? Are you going to have confidence about standing before God one of these days? How can you and I have confidence and have boldness to stand before an almighty God, the creator of the universe, knowing that you and I are wretched sinners? How can we know that, and how can we have confidence in that? How? Because as He is, so are we in the world. That's how. Just as Jesus Christ is, so am I in the world. Is Jesus Christ righteous? Well, then I am righteous. Did Jesus Christ die? Well, then I died. Was Jesus Christ crucified? His crucifixion is my crucifixion. His life is my life. His death is my death. His righteousness is my righteousness. That's how we can have confidence and boldness in the day of judgment. That's why. And as we ponder these things, you know what we're going to experience? An improved attitude. And that's what encouragement does. It gives you an improved attitude. You ever had that coach you just loved? Kind of jumping forward here a little bit. But you ever had that coach you just loved? I bet you I know one of his characteristics if he was a good coach. And he gave you that good attitude and that can-do spirit. You know what it was? He was an encourager. He was saying, man, get out there and do it. I know that you can do it. You can do it. You know what that's what encouragement does? Gives you that good attitude that you're looking for. You ever thought about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all those things, they come from the Spirit of God. Proves your attitude. That's the kind of attitude that a child of God ought to have. Paul the Apostle had the right attitude. He had the I can do it attitude. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's what encouragement does. I'm sure that every one of you, well, maybe some of you haven't, seen the movie Rocky. That's an old movie. I don't know, they're probably still making Rocky movies. I don't know. You know, Rocky was the underdog. And Rocky was always going up against people that were bigger than him, more skilled than him, you know, and he was just the underdog from Philadelphia. And the whole crux of the whole series is somebody's got to encourage Rocky. Because a lot of times his trainer, Mickey, would discourage him by saying, man, you can't do it, you can't win, throw in the towel. And boy, man, his attitude would sink and he couldn't quite get the job done. But then Mickey would come around and give him some encouragement. And then, boy, his spirits would be all pepped up and he'd be ready to go out and fight. Then a lot of times his wife, Adrienne, would come around and say, you can't win, you can't do it. Boy, his spirits got really down. He lacked that encouragement, didn't have the encouragement, didn't have the confidence. But then his wife would come around and she would give him some kind of encouragement. Boy, he'd go out and he'd be able to fight the fight. You know, that's what encouragement does, gives us the right attitude. That's what John is trying to do here. Look, you're strong. You can do it. Because of who your Savior is, you can do it. I'd like to ask you this evening, what kind of attitude do you produce in other people? What kind of attitude do I produce in other people? Are you an encourager when people get around you? They think, man, okay, yeah, all right, let's do it. Are you that encourager? Well, if we do that, then it will promote action. We'll get action out of people if we are that encourager. Because going forward for the Lord, it's not the easiest thing to do, is it? Sometimes it's pretty hard. Sometimes you want to throw in the towel. Sometimes circumstances get bad and they get hard and you don't want to serve God anymore and you just want to throw in the towel. But boy, if you get some encouragement from someone, it really promotes some action. They think, man, I can do this. Remember about David in the Old Testament. And boy, the people were ready to stone him and his whole country's turned against him and they're going to go after him and he don't know what to do and he falls on his face and boy, got discouraged. But the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And sometimes one of these days, and if you haven't already met that place, there's not going to be anybody around. It's just going to be you and the Lord, and you're going to have to encourage yourself, and I'm going to have to encourage myself in the Lord. And when David did that, the Bible says he got up and he took on his enemies. And he went out and he won the battle. Why? Because encouragement promotes action. And go forward. Go forward. Encouragement, it promotes action, it builds confidence. Are you going to be that spiritual encourager? Or are you going to be the one who discourages? Are you going to be the one who slanders or gossips or does something else with your mouth instead of encouraging others? Instead of being one who's unsupportive, look, try to build other people up with your words. Be that encourager. If we're going to be encouragers, we're going to have to be kind. I mean, because encouragement comes from a kind heart. So we're going to have to be kind. Another thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to be aware. We're going to have to be aware of what's going on around us. And let me tell you, I'm the world's worst. I'm not the best aware person around. And I know I just botched up that whole sentence, but I'm just not kind of unaware sometimes. You're going to have to be aware, and then you're going to have to be humble. Can't be proudful and be an encourager, because then it's all going to be about you and me. You're going to have to be humble. Are you that encourager this evening? We're not going to have an altar call tonight.